Welcome to the Gorfine, Schiller & Garden podcast series. Mark Warren, Director of Business Consulting at Gorfine, Schiller & Garden, and also adjunct professor at Stevenson University, recently authored a guest article for the Baltimore Business Journal titled Higher Ed Compliance, Managing Costs in Tighter Procurement and Grant Environments. And Mark has been kind enough to speak with us today further about the topics he covered in that article. And Mark, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Matt?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us and really appreciate it. And let's start at a high level. Tell us about what's going on in the higher education arena, you know, when it comes to the grant and procurement compliance environment. There seems to be some challenges, right?
Yeah, there are definitely challenges. You know, when you look at what the universities are facing today, and again, Matt, what I'm quoting statistics, they're publicly available through the National Center for Education. But, you know, between 2010 and 2016, you know, the latest stats published, enrollments are down by roughly 10%. So we're seeing a drop in enrollment. And we've also seen a drop of roughly 16% for tuition during that same period. So when you look at these universities out there, the private, for-profit, private, non-profit universities that compete with these big state schools, their tuition's down and their enrollment's down. So they actually have to do more with less. And when you look at these campuses and universities, they're mini cities, so they spend quite a bit of money. So it's critical that they get the best value of all of their spend. And a lot of the research and work that they do is grant-based. And when we talk about the controls and reporting around grants, it's critical because some people will think, well, you know, if we misclassify an expense from one category to another, we can just change it. Well, compliance is more complex than that, and university could risk losing their grant if they don't manage it properly.
Wow. Yeah, there seems to be a lot going on. And in fact, even up here in New England, there is a local college that just announced that they are, after this semester, closing. And it was very much along the lines of what you talked about here, these issues and challenges, like they're a mini city. And I know we've talked about this before, but the typical buying processes and contracts with suppliers, which is really important, often lead to unnecessary overspending for colleges and universities. So tell us a little more about that and how to rein that in.
Well, it's a great question. What we see across the campuses, you know, colleges are known for free thinking. And what we typically see is that the, if you will, the top administrative level, they can have some pretty good contracts in place. However, there's no communication of those contracts down to the individual schools. So we did I'll give you a real world example. We recently did a review of procurement processes at a major university, School of Arts and Sciences. And we actually found that there were times that they were purchasing items at retail or even more expensive because they weren't aware that there was an updated contract. They were purchasing off an old contract when these commodities were higher. So in effect, even though they thought they were doing the right thing, they didn't have the right information. And so that was catastrophic for them. They've been doing this for a couple of years. We were able to renegotiate contracts and actually recover some of the money based on the fact that they'd been spending a bit too much. And if you're familiar with the university setting, all the universities have various schools and they try to allow these schools run independently. So there have been times where we'll see that a school will purchase goods that are not contracted because they just want a different type of commodity. Well, rather than taking the approach that we have to get back with administration and get these commodities that we really like and we want to buy on contract at better pricing, they will just go off and buy it on their own and pay a premium for that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting how that happens. And it has to be challenging to rein that in because, like you said, a lot of these colleges have independent schools. And I'm going to go off script a little bit, but let's say at a larger university, how aware is senior leadership about the need for these processes to control costs? And how receptive are they for pushing out, I guess, mandates and processes culturally through the different schools in the university? That seems like a challenging web to manage.
It is. And I don't believe, Matt, that they're really aware of how big the problem is. I think because what ends up happening at the leadership level, they're seeing the contracts that are being negotiated by the centralized procurement function, but they're not really monitoring, you know, the spend of the various schools. They might see one high level number, but they don't see the unit cost. So it's really critical that these issues can bubble up to them so that they know that there's savings opportunities to be had. I mean, I'll give you one last example. We had a major university that had a great contract for paper. You can imagine all the paper that universities use to print different things, different schools. Well, what ended up happening, they bought all this paper centrally for administration using this great contract. However, the folks in the field had no idea this contract existed. So they were going to Staples and Office Depot and just buying retail. So it's one of these things where I think the administration can see some contracts in place. They celebrate some of these wins, but it's not being effectively communicated down. I think if we take a look at the opportunity there, we built awareness to the leadership of the university, they would most certainly look for adoption and compliance on these contracts that they have. And they would probably put a lot of effort in signing, you know, looking at leveraging their spend to sign new contracts that can even be more enriching to the university.
Yeah, I would imagine they would be very motivated when they see the data and see where the spend is going and the overspending. And, you know, let's shift a little bit here. So let's talk about why grant compliance is vital. And you mentioned this a little bit at the top and the negatives, the outcomes that can happen from non-compliance when it comes to grants.
Right. Well, it's critical because there's a lot of, especially if the university has a research arm or special programs that are funded by grants, it's critical that they really understand and they can support all the requirements of the grant. So a lot of times when people think of grants, they're thinking, okay, I get a $100,000 grant to do these type of things. Well, in that grant, there could be limitations on how the money's spent, you know, a mix of commodities and services. There could be limitations to what could be charged to that grant. And so I think oftentimes people will look at grants and just say, okay, I have a $100,000 grant. As long as I stay with my $100,000, I'm okay. But that's not necessarily the case. And I can give you an example. We had a university that we'd worked with that from the outside looking in at a high level, it looked like they were complying on the grants. They had a nice software application that said, okay, I had a $100,000 grant. Here's my spend to date. Here's the open commitments that I have. I'm still within the $100,000 tolerance, so I'm good. But when we dove into the details of those grants, what we found, there were things being charged to that grant that were not allowed. And there were things that were being charged to the grant that were allowed, but had caps on them. So, you know, an example that'll really hit home with people. So there was this one grant where there was a $250,000 grant. And within the construct of the grant, it said that you can charge direct labor at this rate. And then you can charge overhead labor rate at this rate. However, you know, the overhead labor was capped at the first $50,000. So you couldn't charge overhead after you hit the first $50,000. Well, when you look at the grant from the top side, it looked like everything is fine. But when you dug into the details, they were charging the overhead labor against the entire $250,000, which was a violation. And even though from a leadership management perspective, everything looked okay, if they were to have been audited on that grant, they would have failed and could have lost that grant money going forward.
Wow. You know, much like in the procurement side of things, it's a rather complex web. So it seems like it's also the case here when it comes to grant compliance efforts. So I guess from your perspective, what can colleges and universities do to better be in compliance when it comes to grants?
Well, you know, it sounds like basic blocking and tackling, but you know, one of the things that we're seeing, especially on, you know, large distributed school universities that have, you know, various underlying schools that have autonomy, is there's no real grant compliance database. I mean, you have to go to individual schools to track details of grants. What I would recommend, because it's so critical, when you look at the value of grants on a consolidated basis, they're big. There should be kind of a shared services where you, in a shared technical environment, where you have abstracts of all the grants, much as a commercial client would have abstracts of contracts, you would have a grant abstract database so that you can look at the details of the grant. And then you would set up a program by which, you know, as opposed to just having the grant categorized as a $250,000 grant, you would have the various types of charging categories. And those mechanisms would be, you know, you would set up purchase orders when you spend against that grant so that you have to confine yourself to what the grant said. So I guess in a nutshell, I would say setting up an environment where everybody has visibility and transparency into the grant and its details, and then set up some exception reporting so that management can quickly identify if there's any exceptions to the grant. If there was a spend category that came in against a grant that really shouldn't have, you know, let's face it, the 80-20 rule, 80% of the grants are probably being managed well, but 20%, you know, are probably not being looked at. So the exception reporting, I think, would be critical.
That's great. Great insights there, Mark. And if you don't mind, tell us about Gorfine, Schiller, and Garden services in this area. How can you help higher education institutions with both of these challenges?
Well, that's the great thing about Gorfine, you know, Schiller, and Garden. We come at this in various service offerings. So we actually have, you know, grant compliant. We have accountants, CPAs, you know, top of their industry that understand controls, understand grant accounting, understand grant audits. And we couple that with our business consulting team that has great higher ed experience implementing processes and software solutions that are cost effective and pretty quick win. So combining those two pieces of the pie, we can really identify the control weaknesses, put a plan in action that we present to management that says, here's how you remediate this and get back into compliance. And then actually through our business consulting arm, implement the solution. So it's kind of one-stop shop.
That's great. That's excellent. Thanks for that rundown. You know, Mark, I really appreciate your time today. And we covered off on a lot of topics here. But before we sign off, anything to add or anything we may have missed?
I think this is great. I mean, well, I would just recommend that folks listening to this podcast take a look at the details as opposed to the high level, just to see if there's an opportunity for improvement.
That's great. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Gorfein Schiller & Garden podcast interview with Mark Warren, who's director of business consulting at the firm. And as we mentioned, he's also an adjunct professor at Stevenson University. And Mark was kind enough to share his insights into an article he recently wrote for the Baltimore Business Journal called Higher Ed Compliance, Managing Costs in Tighter Procurement and Grant Environments. And Mark, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Matt. It's my pleasure.